No problem. Well, God bless you and good morning. Wow. I got goosebumps. I find it amazing how God just works everything out. I was here Thursday night with that guy from Sylvan from Africa. And Ken didn't tell you some of the pictures that guy showed. It's pretty sick. People with, like, chopped off legs, chopped off arms. And it's really, really, really sad. That has nothing to do with what I'm sharing today, but I was watching a documentary on the Nazis the other night. I normally don't go there. I kind of try and stay away from things like that, but they actually chopped off women's breasts so they couldn't feed their kids. And I was thinking about that one. That guy Sylvan was sharing how they just torture people. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how the devil just finds ways to beat people up, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Man, sorry about that. Okay, so anyway, that has nothing to do with what I'm sharing today, but I just wanted to share that because that guy really blessed me a really lot. He was such a frail man. I mean, he wasn't really frail. I shouldn't say that. He was cold. It was kind of nippy on Thursday night. And when we were coming in, Ken made a point of ushering him in, like, with the quickness. Because he had, like, even though he had a sport coat on, he was still, like, very cold. So, you know, and I thought how God just, he just wants to bless people and wants people to be blessed. And it's the exact opposite of the adversary and what he does. Very, very amazing. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. Got pretty blessed the other day. I think April 4th through the 6th of last year this time, you know what we were doing? I could tell you. The marriage seminar. That would be correct. And I wanted to share something on marriage, but God said, don't go down that street. So I said, okay. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention something about marriage and the first couple. And the first couple was Adam and Eve. That'd be correct. And although Adam threw Eve under the bus a little bit, you know, he didn't criticize, condemn, or complain. He didn't leave Eve. He didn't abandon her. She didn't abandon him. They stuck together, and they made it, as you all know. So in Genesis chapter 3, today I want to share a little bit on wisdom. And wisdom is the natural ability to understand things that most other people cannot understand. The ability to discern or judge is what is true or lasting. It is insight. You may have heard the saying that knowledge is power. Wisdom, then, could be the exercise power of knowledge. And that's what you want. All the knowledge in the world isn't going to do you beans if you don't apply it. Nick's kind of mantra, as it were, is doing the word. And wisdom helps you do the word. A person could have all the knowledge in the world, and if they don't know how to use it, or don't choose to use it, it's basically useless, or never truly proven. Because you can have knowledge, you can know something. I have a book, Who Moved My Cheese? And it's a great book, and it's a kind of a practical book. And it's like Pavlov's Dogs, if you ever heard that. So they put this mouse in a maze, and they put the cheese on the other side. And every day he runs for that cheese through the maze. And after a while, it grooves, and he keeps going to the cheese. Well, one day they take the cheese and put it somewhere else. He runs to that spot anyway. The cheese is gone. He looks around. Ew, where's my cheese? He runs back. Next day, put him in. He runs to the same spot again. Why? Because he knows or thinks he knows that the cheese is still going to be in that spot, but it's not. And so his question is, who moved my cheese? What happened to my cheese? You keep running down the same road all the time and not getting the same result, but you don't turn around and say, who moved my cheese? What happened? You have knowledge of something, But that knowledge, it has to be proven each and every day. We have knowledge of the Word of God, and the Word of God has to be proven each and every day. Okay. Let me go back there. So it's basically useless and never truly proven or proved that it is truth. Because you, that guy's looking for that cheese, that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. It's not there anymore. Somebody moved it. Wisdom has been sought after since the time of Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And I utilize the NIV for this, and I'll read it. You can read along because I'll make a reference to the King James Version. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining what? Wisdom, or to be wise. So it's been important since the dawn of time. Or to make one wise in the King James Version, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was just as silly, with her, and he ate it. So Eve did the transgression. She goes to Adam. Adam has the same result. They wanted wisdom. They wanted to be wise. And we should want to be wise also. In 1 Kings is the record of a man who desired to be wise. His name, King Solomon. Or as I like to call him, Salomonde. King Salomonde. He was a great man. A very great man. As great as he was, you know what his downfall was in the end? Check it out sometime. Women. Yeah, he had like, I don't know how many
700 wives.
There you go, 700 wives. And God had told him, if you continue on the, we'll read that, but God had told him, if you continue on the straight and narrow and do the things that I've called you to do, you're going to be the greatest. And you know what? The one thing he did, he had married women of other cultures and other faiths, and he turned away from God. Phew. Man, just makes you wonder what's going on in the world today. If you're a man, you need to stand up. You need to lead. You need to move out on the things of God. And if you're a woman, you need to build that up. This morning I got really blessed. I had on another shirt. I'm on to the shirt with a pocket, Nick, to put the thing in there. And so this morning I got up. I had a shirt similar on to what John's wearing. And I started walking out, and Dolores goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Nothing." She goes, "Is that shirt wrinkled?" And I went, I don't know, is it? She goes, "Because that's kind of a reflection on me, you know." And I thought, ooh, yeah. So I went in and changed my shirt. Actually, I said to her, is it wrinkled? And she went, because she didn't really want to say, "Dude, you look like a slob." So, okay. I get it. Yeah, she does. She always asks, "Do I need a shirt? Do I need anything ironed?" And I'm not thinking, so anyway. All right. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he would die. I'm sorry. I'll slow down a minute, so everybody can get there. Okay. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies. And it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." Solomon had some pretty big shoes to fill. The previous king was his father, David, King David, also a great man for God. And look at chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Okay, so here's Solomon, and God says, "Yo, what do you want?" Because he had to take the place of David. We take the place of the absent Christ. What do we want? We want to have wisdom. We want to have understanding. We want to apply the knowledge of the Word of God that we get each and every day of our lives. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Doing the Word is simple if you make it. No matter what your problem is, whatever that problem is, think of the mouse with the cheese, constantly running down that same tunnel and constantly being befuddled. Why? Because he thinks he knows something, but he really doesn't. We think we know the Word. The only way we're going to prove to know that Word is truth is by applying that Word each and every day of our lives with the wisdom that God has called us to. Okay. Ask me what you want. Okay, and Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. But I am a little child. I know not how to come in or go out or come in. He says, I don't know if I can measure up. Don't we face that every day of our lives? I don't know if we can measure up. Measure up to what? You have nothing to measure up to. You have God in Christ in you. The measuring bar has already been set. And you've met that standard. And that's what you need to think about each and every day of your life. God put Christ in you, the hope of glory, so that you already measured up. All you have to do is put that mind on and do what the Word of God says you can do. Okay, so where was I there? All right. Don't know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, and cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and thou hast asked hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And, bonus round, if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. God not only gave Solomon a wise and understanding heart, God gives him even more that he could ask or think. It doesn't take long for Solomon to utilize his wise and understanding heart. Two verses later, the same snake who worked on Adam and Eve tries to get Solomon also. The same deceiver, and he works on us each and every day of our lives also. Whatever that thought is that's reigning in your mind, I can't do this, I can't change. You can. If you have a spiritual problem that's keeping you from changing, go to somebody and get deliverance for that spiritual problem. Because sometimes it's just not in your head. Sometimes people get possessed. It's going to happen. It's okay. Go get that deliverance. Maybe you just need to change your mind. Change your mind. Whatever it is. Okay. So, verse 16. Of chapter 3, two verses later, there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was also delivered, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house. Save we two in the house. So it's only me and you. It's just me and you in this house. Or her and the other girl in the house. That's all there was. There was no three or four people hanging around. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did hear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living son is my son, and the dead son is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. And they spake therefore before the king. So they go to the king and they say, listen, we got a little situation here. Both of us had a kid. One of the kids died. I think the kid that's living is my kid. Brent and I were talking this morning. What were we saying about that when you got confused? You get confused. Sometimes when I read this, I get confused. I can't make it out. Your son, my son, thy son. All these different sons running around. It's really only one person. It's really only four people involved. But I got confused reading that. I'm thinking, man, my son, thy son, his son. You know, son's up in the sky. Don't worry about it. All right, so then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, bring me a sword, that they may be brought a sword before the king. Now, you think about that, and think about the wisdom and the courage that it took for him to say that. In this situation, was their knowledge available? Not really. He might not have had a clue. Unless God told him, he wouldn't have had a clue. So sometimes knowledge is not available. But God can still show you what to do through wisdom, be it wisdom as in knowledge applied or the manifestation of wisdom, right? It's available. Okay. So he brings him a sword. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Can you imagine that on CNN today? That'd be brutal. Simply brutal. Yeah. And look what this guy did this morning. Yeah. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. About that. Yeah. Then the king answered and said, give the living child, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was with him to do judgment. When all Israel heard this, they got shook up. They saw the wisdom of God was with Solomon. And by the way, Solomon was very prosperous. He built a temple that would be worth billions today. And if you go back, I said, prosper. God wants us to prosper. All right. The world will be confounded if you walk on the wisdom of God. People will stand in awe of you as you walk with the wisdom of God. And I'd like to read one more record in John chapter 8, the Gospel of John. Wisdom is not used here, but the implication is tremendous. It's Jesus Christ with the woman caught in adultery. If you work wisdom, be it the manifestation of wisdom, or just wisdom of knowledge applied, you'll see that many, many times it takes great courage to utilize wisdom. But as we stand fast on the greatness of God's word, you'll see that it doesn't take much courage at all. All it takes is one man or one woman standing up at one time for God and his word. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. That means they caught her with her pants down. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote in the ground, as though he had heard them not. Sometimes you need to put away the distractions of your life to get the desired result. Be it the computer, be it the TV, be it the radio, whatever it is, get rid of the distraction in your life. Focus on the Word of God. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. If anybody here doesn't have any sin, take a brick and heave it. That's what he said. Stone her yourself. Go ahead. You know what? They couldn't. We also, we're sinners. It happens. It's going to happen. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's bound to happen. Well, why beat yourself up over it? Why not just stand up, shake off the cobwebs, and walk out on the Word of God? Utilize the knowledge that God has given you via wisdom. Okay. So, verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman, and said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. If you could just get a mind picture of that. Here's a bunch of people. They're all foaming at the mouth, all revved up, all psyched up. They got this woman. They caught her in adultery. They bring her before Jesus Christ and they throw her on the ground and they say, Yo, this woman was caught in the very act. What do you have to say about it? It took great courage and great wisdom for Jesus Christ to kneel down, get rid of the distractions, and speak on the Word of God. We can do that each and every day of our lives. All we have to do is hold the Word in our minds and walk out on those thoughts that we have. As believers, we need to seek the knowledge and wisdom of God. We don't need to criticize, condemn, or complain. As we walk wisely, we develop the natural ability to understand things that most other people cannot understand. The ability to judge, to discern or judge what is truth or lasting insight. We will prosper, people will get saved, and God will get the glory. Okay? I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Almighty God, thank you for the greatness of this day. Thank you for all that you've done for us and all you continue to do for us. Thank you, God, that we have knowledge in our lives, that we can read your word and study your word. Thank you also that we get great wisdom to walk out on that word each and every day of our lives. Thank you, God, that you're constantly telling us what to do and all we have to do is do it. Thank you, God, for each and every person here, for each and every married person, for people that have children. Thank you, God, that you wanted a family, and you got it in us. Thank you, God, that we have families that we can bring to you. And thank you, God, that we can walk out on the greatness of who we are each and every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. 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 God bless. Okay.